This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hi, I'm Hanif Baharuddin, and this is GG Well Played, BFM's video game show. So, have you always wondered what Malaysians are like when it comes to their gaming habits? We now have a bit of information on that thanks to a research conducted by Omnicom Media Group recently that looked at how Malaysians game. It's a thorough quantitative survey with a sample size of 1,000 respondents exploring various aspects including time spent on gaming, platforms of choice, preferred genres, whether they like to game alone or with friends, and many more. The results are pretty interesting, with some aspects expected, like mobile being a much more popular platform, to some that's pretty surprising, including the fact that Malaysians prefer to game solo as opposed to with friends. So we're going to break it all down, and joining me to do that is Kiran Keshav, Chief Strategy Officer at Omnicom Media Group Malaysia.
First of all, thank you so much for having me with you. It's a pleasure to be here to talk to you. My name is Kiran Keshav. I'm the Chief Strategy Officer for Omnicom Media Group. Omnicom Media Group is a world-leading communication and planning agency with presence across the globe. And we have a strong presence in Malaysia as well. We primarily work with clients on their media advertising, data and analytics needs, all that across our different functions. And I lead the strategy function for Omnicom.
All right. Okay, fantastic. Okay, so what led to the organization conducting this research titled Unlocking Gaming Audiences?
So, gaming has been a topic of interest in Southeast Asia and specifically in Malaysia for the longest time. In fact, gaming apparently now is a bigger industry than movie and music combined in terms of revenue. That's how massive gaming has become. But interestingly, in terms of advertising, in terms of addicts, there is still a little bit of reluctance when it comes to exploring gaming as a choice of platform. And that's primarily because from an advertising perspective, from a marketing perspective, it still is not very clear on what the behaviors of gaming is, especially in a market like Malaysia. There's plenty of research that's been done around gaming and gamers across the globe. But when it comes to Southeast Asia, when it comes to Eastern Malaysia, that was something that we felt was missing. So along with our regional research team in APAC based out of Singapore, we wanted to embark on a research that will cut across a few different markets within APAC, Malaysia being a really, really important one at that because of the revenue stock that gaming generates here, and kind of try to understand what are some of the key behaviors that we observe from a gaming perspective, what are the platforms that people are on in terms of gaming, even going beyond just the gaming itself and looking at what kind of other engagement do these so-called people who game would get into to understand the games, reading about the games, etc. So we wanted to get a sense of all of those things, and that's about why we embarked on this.
Okay, so technically, the research is targeted to brands, I suppose, or who are you targeting this research for, actually?
So the ultimate target for the research itself is for brands and advertisers and people within media for people to understand these nuances. Ultimately, the reason we want something like this done is so that brands can then start understanding how they can use these insights and observations from the research to kind of target people who are on these gaming platforms a little bit.
All right. Okay. I'm going to ask you a bit more on that later, but perhaps we can start by talking about your methodology, research methodology. Can you perhaps share us a bit about that?
Sure. So this was done as a quantitative research across the different markets that I spoke about. Across APAC, the size of our sample was about 12,000. In Malaysia, it was a pretty strong sample size of 1,000. We just wanted to make sure that it's statistically really, really significant in terms of the research that we're doing. And we also wanted to make sure that it kind of reflected the population spread in Malaysia, which meant that about 85-90% of the target audience from the research happened to be urban, suburban. We also made sure that the age group split is in line with what we see within the market. So there is a sizable chunk of 18 to 24, 25 to 34, 45 to 54, that kind of an age group, because that's how the market pans out. In terms of the gender split, it was about 50-50. That's what we wanted to look at. This was broadly what we kind of wanted to look at in terms of methodology. And the kind of questions that we would ask them was it around understanding their behaviors, around the preferences when it comes to gaming, what kind of engagement that comes about from a digital perspective, et cetera, et cetera, were the key points that we wanted to look at.
For the age group, I'm a bit surprised that you didn't include below 18. Was there any specific reason why?
So we wanted to kind of select, again, this research goes back, the ultimate aim of the research is while understanding the gaming behaviors, it's also about going after the brands and trying to find a way that brands could find their way into the gaming environment, which means that a lot of the advertisers that we work with, not just us, almost all of the agencies, they tend not to target below 18 age group with targeting. They kind of, I wouldn't say unwritten rule, but you kind of try to go after people who are 18 plus. There are very few brands. I mean, there are brands who focus on children, teens and all that, but we just wanted to focus on that bit. So that's the reason it was 18 and above.
All right. Okay. Understand. All right. So let's talk about the results. Some of the interesting aspects of this research. I think off the top of my head, the first one is that a lot of Malaysians apparently don't consider themselves gamers. Why is that the case?
So that was one of the most interesting thing that that came out from the research as well. Like there was some unsurprising results that came out, but this was one of the things that kind of stood out for us in the sense that not all Malaysians who play games consider themselves to be gamers. And a few of the things that stood out and the reasoning behind why people don't consider themselves gamers. One is interestingly the age factor. So there were a lot of the 18 to 24-year-old people who thought, I'm too young to be a gamer. There were a lot of the 35-plus-year-olds who thought, I'm too old to be a gamer. So that was an interesting dichotomy that we saw. That was one. The other aspect was a lot of the people tend to game on mobile, and they feel that for somebody to be a gamer, they're supposed to be on that console or PC, having their headgear on, having a specialized table and chair. And those are the kind of people who are kind of associated with the tag gamer. And the other aspect of it was the time spent, in the sense that a gamer would be somebody who spends hours and hours sitting and gaming day in, day out, whether it's a weekday or weekend. Most of the Malaysians that we spoke to, they would spend a little bit of time gaming on mobile during the weekdays, maybe a little longer on the weekends, but they didn't spend enough time. So these were some of the interesting reasons where Malaysians thought that, okay, we're not gamers, we just play games. So that was, these are the three pillars for that reason, I would say.
Do you think that, I mean, obviously, we need to be objective in our research, but do you think that to a certain extent, it's all semantics and people are just being, I guess, slightly pedantic when it comes to the definition of being a gamer, quote unquote?
It is true. I mean, in the sense that if you just think about it, if you are playing any kind of game on any kind of platform that you might think about, whether it's the good old handheld choking device that we used to have when we were kids to now, if you play a game, you're a gamer. But I guess there is a certain association that comes up when you think about a gamer. There's a certain persona that you would start thinking about the moment you start thinking of a gamer. Somebody who's a nerd, who is locked up in his room and all that. And maybe people don't want that tag with themselves probably. But you're absolutely right. It is semantic. But semantics is what keeps people going. So they like their labels.
Yeah, I suppose. And even for myself, you know, to a certain extent, in thinking about it, I do sometimes struggle to even call myself a gamer precisely because of this, right? And it's not so much because of, I guess, the label or the association, but more of the fact that I don't game enough and I'm not a hardcore gamer compared to others who perhaps deserve the title better, right?
You know what I mean? Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So, and I also think it's the fact that, you know, while that hardcore part is equal to being a gamer in the minds of a lot of people. So they don't necessarily differentiate between hardcore or you know, light gamers. If somebody's hardcore, they're a gamer. If somebody's a light gamer, not a gamer, somebody just plays games. So,
What about the platform of choice? Because I think that also, to a certain extent, influences the definition, right? If you think about it, because I think, I mean, again, some respondents perhaps think that the reason why they can't be considered or they don't consider themselves a gamer is because they're gaming mostly on mobile, right? But I think with the landscape changing these days, I guess, to a certain extent, that also is no longer true or relevant?
So, mobile is indeed the preferred choice of device. Mm-hmm. In fact, while about 60% of Malaysians game regularly, out of those people who game regularly, about 90% of them do it on mobile. So that's a huge factor because the moment you think about gaming on mobile, it kind of restricts the kind of games that you might be on, the kind of experiences that you might be on. And it also tends to be mostly the casual games, if I can call it that. But having said that, it doesn't mean that consoles or PC gamers are, by any stretch of imagination, small. But they still account for about 35%. Console gamers account for about 35% of all gamers. So that's a sizable number, one third of the entire gaming population in such a huge gaming population. That's a pretty sizable number. But having said that, yes, mobile seems to be the device that people choose to go into. And interestingly, it's not always the only device, even though mobile is the device of choice. A lot of people who are gaming, they tend to kind of switch between different devices depending on the games that they're on. It's not all gamers who are focused only on one game. They kind of split around. If you think about you and me, if I talk about myself, I'm not a gamer by any stretch of imagination. I play some of my word games or whatnot. I do that on mobile. Once in a while, if one of my friends invites me to do a EA Sports FIFA, I do that, but that's pretty bad. So that's straggling between devices also happens.
Yeah, and speaking of that, based on the top five gaming genres that are actively played on these platforms, there's a bit of an overlap here and there, but mostly they're also pretty distinguishable, right? If you think about it, based on the research.
So in terms of mobile, a lot of the gaming that happens is led by the so-called matching games / tile matching games. Think of Candy Crush. There are a different variety of the Candy Crushes variants that exist in the market these days. So that happens to be a massive one. Nearly 50% of the gamers, 46 to be exact, 46% of the gamers tend to play these games. But equally following them on mobile are games which are board/ card games. There is Word and Trivia and all of that. And then the point that you were making, which is the overlap that happens, a lot through the first-person shooter or battle royale games. You know, think PUBG or those kind of games. That's the one that starts to bring in a little bit of overlap. So FPS, first-party shooter games are pretty big on mobile. So it is pretty big on console and PC as well. In fact, first-party shooter games are the biggest choice of gaming as far as PC games are concerned, followed by mobile, which is the multi-online battle arena kind of games. There are some sports games that are pretty big too. And something that's grown massively in the past few years is the so-called MMORPG, which is massive multiplayer online role-playing games. I mean, it's a mouthful, but everybody who does a little bit of gaming would understand what I'm talking about. So yeah.
That was Kiran Kishav, Chief Strategy Officer at Omnicom Media Group Malaysia, breaking down their recent research on gamers and their habits titled Unlocking Gamers in Asia Pacific. We're going to make way for some messages. More after this. Stay tuned. This is GG Well Played on BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, you're listening to GG Well Played. I'm your host, Hanif Baharuddin. We're breaking down a research on Malaysian gamers and their behaviours titled Unlocking Gamers in Asia Pacific with Kiran Kishav, Chief Strategy Officer at Omnicom Media Group Malaysia, the body responsible for the research. The key highlight from the survey is that Malaysians apparently prefer to game by themselves rather than with friends or a community, something that we all find pretty surprising. Kiran will help elaborate the meaning behind that. All right, speaking of perhaps, you know, Malaysians' preference for gaming, surprisingly, they also prefer for gaming to be a solo affair, which is, I guess, to a certain extent, to me, a bit surprising because I mean, depending on the situation, it can be surprising, but it can also not be as surprising because I was expecting Malaysians to still be connected somehow, and I think that is reflected in the outcome of the research, right, to a certain extent?
It was something that was surprising for us as well. If I just look around in the office or people that the younger people that I know of, almost all of them tend to game in a community kind of an environment. So data like this coming out showed me that there is a world of gamers out there who are different from necessarily the people that I know of, who tends to game alone, prefers it to be a solo affair, playing by themselves, but they like to have the option of having an in-game chat or playing with friends within a single game once in a while. But mostly about 45% of them have claimed that they like it to be a solo affair by themselves, mostly spending their after work hours or weekends just stressing it out, playing the game. And then that's what it is. So that's an interesting observation that came up.
Do you think that this is, to a certain extent, also is reflected by your the age demographic that you have chosen to conduct this research in?
Yeah, so that was an interesting bit that came out. So between the age group of 18 to 24, they're not as inclined for solo gaming as much as the others are. It's the 25 to 34 who tends to be much more solo in their gaming preferences. And that was an interesting thing that came out. So 18 to 24, the youngest ones that were part of our research, they like to be within a community of gamers, interacting with each other and all of that. But as they grow older, or maybe when it comes to, so that might be an interesting thing to maybe ponder upon a little bit longer, in the sense of maybe the 25 to 34 and the older ones, maybe they started a few years ago as solo gamers and they're just continuing that habit even now. I mean, that's a hypothesis that we have. I mean, we don't have that as part of the research, but that's an interesting thought to ponder about, that the fact that they started that way and they're just continuing with that habit even now.
Because, yeah, you're right. Because anecdotally speaking, I'm more of a solo gamer, but I've seen my friends' kids, you know, who are playing video games together. They would make it a point to play it with their friends, you know, online. So, which is why I was like, oh, okay, I thought this would be the way to go. But surprisingly, I guess a lot more nations still prefer to play games by themselves, I suppose.
Exactly.
All right. Based on this research, do these results tally with the initial perceptions that you have, perhaps, prior to conducting this research? What are some of the results that might have surprised you, apart from the things we've mentioned before?
So one of the things that kind of came out was why people, so one obviously is the type of thing that we started with, in the sense that not all Malaysians consider themselves to be gamers. I mean, in hindsight, that makes a lot of sense. But it didn't, that was not something that we started with in terms of what it would be. The other thing that stood out in terms of how things moved is the kind of engagement after or before the gaming that I have. What I mean by that is, yes, there is a lot of time that's spent on gaming itself, but the time spent on gaming related content, that was something that was interesting that came up. And I call it interesting because we expected that the young audiences, 18 to 24, might interact with a lot of the gaming content besides gaming, whether it's about interacting with the streamers, whether it's about reading up about with gaming and all of that. But cutting across 18 to 24, 25 to 34, 35 to 44, about 90% of all of these segments of audiences, they tend to spend a lot of time outside games, reading up about games, interacting with gaming content, trying to get more updates, trying to see what the other gamers are doing, what the streamers are doing, and all of those things. So that was an interesting finding that stood out, that it's not just the youngsters who are interested in the gaming content that exists out there.
Anything else?
In addition to that, what we might think about was the reason that people talked about. We talked about why people don't want to be gaming. And one of the things that stood out is the stark difference between the mobile gamers and the so-called PC console gamers. And one of the things that separated the two is the experience itself. So it's, again, kind of obvious, but we were going with the hypothesis that with the developments in technologies that's happened, people wouldn't feel a lot of difference in the gaming experience and the gameplay itself between mobile and PC console. But that's something that a lot of gamers called out, actually. The fact that the reason people who tend to game a lot on PC and console tend to focus on that is because of the experience that stands out. Even with all of the developments that we talk about in terms of technology and how fast the mobiles have become, apparently they still feel that experience is not complete on mobile. And that's why you see the kind of games that are being played on mobile tends to be more of these matching tiles and all of those things. But the bigger shooting games and RPG games tend to be very focused on these platforms, which is console and PC.
Okay, I understand that. I mean, your research is meant to target brands, but is this something that's also, do you think, will be useful for developers as well? You know, when it comes to, I guess, creating games, especially because there is a bit of mismatch when it comes to the mobile platform and the kind of games that people prefer versus PC and consoles and the kind of games that people prefer there as well, right? When it comes to, I guess, to a certain extent, developing games in the future, I suppose.
Absolutely. So in terms of the developer's perspective, I'm assuming it's super critical for them to understand what the expectations from these gamers are from each of the platform. And also another thing for them to notice, like I was mentioning earlier, is the interplay of devices itself. So like I was saying, there is a sizable percentage of audience who kind of play between two or three devices. Like there are about 40% of people who game on three devices and more, which means that there is a lot of opportunities for even developers to start thinking about, hey, if I want to make sure that my gaming audience is staying within my gaming environment, is there a way that they can make it seamless across different platforms? How can they start thinking about gameplay that connects across different kinds of devices, making sure that you know, you don't lose out on the audiences, you know, you don't want your gaming audience to be flirting with other games. As a developer, from the perspective of a developer, they want them in your ecosystem. So that's something that's worth pondering for these developers.
All right. Yeah. Going back to the crux of I guess who the target audience for this research is to a certain extent. Brands, yeah. So the relationship between brands and gamers to a certain extent, I think based on your research overall, in the way you summarize it, it's technically still an untapped potential, right? But what I find quite interesting based on the research as well is you also acknowledge the fact that especially when it comes to certain platforms, the reluctance to brands are even higher, right? Which I think tallies with the kind of conversation that we've seen in the gaming industry with regard to, I guess, in-game ads and whatnot. So do you think that to some extent this is also something that's maybe favorable to brands, especially considering how defensive gamers can be when it comes to these things? At least when it comes to the quote-unquote the hardcore gamers. Because I guess based on how things have developed these past few years, when it comes to conversations of this nature, the pushback tends to be quite hard.
Yep. So one of the interesting things that I would start with that point is a lot of the brands feel that gaming environments for advertising is applicable only for certain categories of brands. So a bank might think that, so for example, if I had a client who's a banking client, they might feel that I have no role to play in a gaming platform. Or a CPG client, a skincare client might feel like, what am I going to do with gaming, right? But the reality is you are trying to talk to a certain set of consumers who would use all of these products, but they also tend to game. So like, it's not to say that the gamers don't bank. They still need their bank. So there's a reason for them to be there. So that's one of the first misconceptions that we would like to address with the brands themselves, with the marketers themselves, that almost all categories can find a role to play. But having said that, it doesn't mean that they should find a way to force fit their brands into this environment. And what that thought leads into is the different ways that brands can start thinking about being a part of a gaming environment. It's not always just going in and annoying the consumer, the gamers who are playing with an ad that pops up. There are other ways to be a part of the gameplay. It could be an integration within the gameplay itself. It could be working with streamers and finding ways to associate games and the aura of that game with the brand. It could be finding ways to work with games to release special edition merchandises and all of that. So it's then a matter of making sure that brands can find a certain role in this whole ecosystem. And that's what the next step should be. First of all, identifying that, hey, there could be a role. Second one is that what that role could be.
Do you think that your research will get brands to open up their minds a bit more with regard to, I guess, the gaming industry as a platform, as a way for them to, I guess, invest in, I suppose?
That's definitely the opposite, in the sense that somebody who reads through this report or somebody who kind of digests this report would start to see that people who are on these gaming platforms are not a different kind of breed. It is the very same consumers that you're trying to win over in other platforms. And if there are other platforms that are getting saturated in terms of how you reach them, this is a relatively untapped opportunity because a lot of the brands are still not very clear on how to experiment on these platforms. So it might, I wouldn't say first mover, because there have been a few first movers, but maybe a relatively first mover advantage for some of the brands who might come in at this point.
Yeah, but having said that, would you also be able to advise them to I guess, reconcile the kind of differences or the kind of pushback that might happen considering how defensive gamers can be as well when it comes to these things?
And that's something that stands out, even not necessarily from the research itself, even the other secondary research that we did. You're absolutely right in terms of the gamers being defensive. And one of the biggest pushback that comes from gamers is that they don't want their gameplay to be affected in any manner. Like, if there is a banner of the brand somewhere sitting in the background, which doesn't affect the speed of the game or anything, as long as it's not disruptive, they're okay. And even if it's disruptive, most of the gamers, if there is a way that disruption rewards them in some way, whether it's about leveling up, whether it's about them getting some coins or some points to move ahead, that helps. But something that's interesting is that even with the incentive of possibly getting some leveling up or some rewards that could take them forward in the game, most gamers would prefer not to have the disruption as much as possible. So therefore, that's also the reason that brands need to think about other options of getting into this ecosystem and not just through plainly buying inventory and just plastering them with that. That might not work, but really, really well.
Yeah, that's true. At the end of the day, do you think that inevitably, this is something that gamers need to also be mindful of? The fact that, one day, like it or not, the marriage between brands and gaming will happen, regardless of whether they like it or not. Is that something that they need to also be prepared for, I guess?
I would say yes. And the reason I say that is because as this gaming industry becomes more and more lucrative in terms of revenues and all that, as more and more people get into the ecosystem, which means that as advertisers, our primary objective is to be where people are. That's what we try to do day in, day out, which means that we would find a way to follow the gamers. But hopefully there would be better ways and non-disruptive ways of getting there. But let's admit it, advertising, as much as we want it to be non-disruptive, it's not always non-disruptive, isn't it? Think about social, think about TV, think about radio. Wherever a particular medium starts to get a certain critical mass in terms of reach, there's always advertising that follows. And that's the reality of how these service providers can give a good experience to the people who are using it. So the gaming developers and gaming platforms need to find ways to improve the experiences for the consumers. And this is one of the ways that they can earn that revenue and pass it on to the consumers in terms of the experience. So there might have to be some kind of a compromise that would have happened for the gamers.
All right. Any last words, Kiran?
Last words would be in terms of the fact that, hey, I would talk about it from my own perspective as an advertiser. And when I say my own perspective, I would include the clients and the brands who work on the space. The fact is, I go back to what I started with. Gaming now is a bigger platform in terms of revenue than even movies and music. Gaming is where a lot of the technology progress starts, whether it's about better ways of filmmaking. A lot of the filmmakers get inspired by gamers. A lot of the technology that we talk about in terms of the fresh technology, that's going to come into gaming. So for example, last year, there was a lot of conversations around Metaverse. Metaverse for normal people might be completely new, but for somebody who's been in a gaming environment, they're already used to it. So that's something that gaming does. It's always a step ahead of the rest of the society in terms of that technology. But so the point is, considering that gaming is already out there in terms of how improved it is in terms of the experiences. And from an advertising perspective, we keep talking about how do we reach the unreachables in terms of there are certain consumers who we can't reach through a lot of the other platforms. Maybe they aren't gaming. If we want to reach the unreachables, gaming might be one hell of a platform to go after. That's my last words.
You're tuned into GG Well Played, and it was Kiran Keshav, Chief Strategy Officer at Omnicom Media Group Malaysia, unpacking their recent research on Malaysian gamers and their habits titled Unlocking Gamers in Asia Pacific. If you'd like to listen to this episode again, look for the podcast on pfm.my. You can also download our app available on the Apple App Store or Google Play. GG Well Played's podcast can also be found on Spotify and other streaming platforms. Do share your thoughts and the games that you play via our email ggwp@pfm.my. Don't forget to also follow the station on X at BFM Radio. My name is Hanif Baharudin. Thanks for joining us. Game on, and please take care. Selamat Hari Raya and maaf zahir dan batin. Have a good one. This has been GG Well Played.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.